Welcome to the Titletown Times, where we bring you the best from 1265 Lombardi Avenue, as it happens. I'm Nicholas Fargo, and this is my buddy Bryant.
What up, everybody? Go Pack,
go. Go Pack, let's go. First episode here with the Titletown Times, and free agency, the bulk of it is just ending, and we're nearing the home stretch until the draft. So, basically, we're just going to talk about free agency right now. As you know, the Packers were very active in free agency this time around. That's the first time in a while, and that's how you truly know that this isn't Ted Thompson's team anymore.
Totally, I agree, honestly. I mean, we did some pretty big signings, to be honest.
Right. We addressed a lot of our needs that a lot of us expect to address in the draft, because that's just how the Packers have usually done things. And honestly, it looks like Brian Gutekunst wants to take this team in a whole new direction.
Totally, I agree, honestly. It's about time that we build this team up around, because Rodgers isn't getting any younger, so.
Exactly. And not only that, we gave him an O-line piece as well. And a lot of people think that we overpaid for Billy Turner because he wasn't originally a starting offensive lineman for the Denver Broncos. But I think what we really paid him for was his versatility.
Yeah, definitely.
Because he can play guard and tackle.
And he bet he's going to do better than freaking, what's his name, Byron Bell?
Oh, yeah, Byron Bell. Yep.
So
the old Cowboys legend, right? Oh, the Cowboys can have him back for sure.
And he's better than Don Barkley, too. Don't forget about him.
All right. Jeez. He was Detroit's problem. I think he got cut from Detroit, if I'm correct.
He got cut from every team.
Oh, yeah. You'll get cut from every team. What was your favorite free agency signing?
Honestly, it's going to have to come down to two players. I don't think I really have a favorite. It's tied between Za'Darius Smith and Adrian Amos.
Okay, yeah. Amos is great. I love Amos, especially since we got him from the Bears, and that's fantastic.
Oh, hell yeah.
A lot of Bears fans, though, are saying that they got HaHa Clinton Dix at a better value because he's because I noticed you're laughing, so we're going to get into that here in a second. But a lot of people thought we overpaid for Amos because he was the possibly 10th best player on that Chicago defense. Well, he's probably going to be like the top 2 or 3 player on the Packers defense, so obviously he's worth more to us than he would be to Chicago.
Right.
That's why they didn't pay him, and we did.
Exactly.
Like, value isn't determined by the player a lot of the time. It's determined by the team.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Like, how much does this player mean to this team?
Honestly, I mean, Amos means a lot. I mean, okay, so besides Amos, who else do we have a safety? Josh Jones,
Raven who I think Green. I think he's going to be a nickel linebacker, Josh Jones, because honestly, his covered skills are kind of doo-doo.
Exactly, and a lot of Packer fans are like, why don't we just move him up and put Amos there? Right. I'm like, No,
not at all. I thought we were going to get Earl Thomas, too, but he ended up going to Baltimore.
Yeah, a lot of Cowboy fans got pretty cocky, too. They thought they were going to snatch him up.
Oh, yeah. But honestly, I would rather have Amos than Earl Thomas because of money and of the players' ages and because of Earl Thomas's injury history.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. Amos is pretty reliable. He stays on the field, which we can't say about a lot of Packers safeties.
Mm-hmm.
We're on IR this year when we had to trot out Kentrell Bryce.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, have fun with him, Tampa. That's all I got to say.
And plus, the thing I like about Amos is that this guy, dude, he's a hitter. Dude, that hit he laid on, what's his name? Cole Beasley? Dude, that shit was nasty.
Wait, are you talking about Amos or Bryce?
No, because Amos. Well, I know they both laid up nasty hit on Cole Beasley.
I know, right? Like, Beasley's unlucky when it comes to getting...
Yeah, but that one Amos laid on him? Oh, Jesus, dude. He was, on the ground.
Oh, my God. honestly, I think my favorite signing is probably a tie between the two edge rushers, because I've been wanting this team to get a pass rusher to potentially replace Clay Matthews, who is now in LA with the Rams. Right. Bet you're loving that.
No. I mean, I would like to meet him if I ever went out to LA. I wouldn't mind, but the fact that he's in LA now is kind of bugs me. Kind of, it feels weird.
Right. But I've been calling for that for a while. I was banging my fist on the freaking table for Khalil Mack when they were saying that he was available in Oakland.
You know, it's crazy. I feel like it would have been so much different if we would have gotten Khalil Mack.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, he changed that Bears
defense team around big time, dude.
Oh, yeah. And it's amazing how one player can do that.
Exactly. So it's like, all right, Khalil Mack, what's his name?
Akeem Hicks.
And it's like all the main focus was on
Eddie Jackson.
And that's what led to them being such a really good defensive team, because the main focus was on Mack. So when they were focused on Mack, guys like him, like Hicks and Jackson, were just around there, made their moves, and that's why they're a really good damn defense.
Exactly. And I think that the Bears were comfortable letting him go, even though there were reports that they did go after him. They did want to re-sign him, but I think that they were more comfortable letting him go than they would be letting go of someone like Akeem Hicks or something like that. But to the Packers, this means a whole lot, because we haven't had good safety play, and everyone wants to say, ha ha, Clinton Dix was great for the Packers because he got interceptions. I disagree, because playing safety is not just getting interceptions. Mm-hmm. It's making tackles. Mm-hmm. And ha ha, Clinton Dix, he pretty much was on every other team's highlight reel when he was with he was on every other team's highlight reel that wasn't his.
Exactly. I agree with you, honestly. Like, everyone's like, he was the best safety we've had, and I disagree. I mean, he has so many opportunities to make the tackle, and he just slipped up.
Exactly. I remember his very first game as a rookie, and I know he was a rookie, but we were playing Seattle at Seattle in 2014.
Oh, God.
There was a tackle, and the wide receiver, I forget who it was, but he just flat out whiffed on that tackle in that opener, and it led to a touchdown. And honestly, like, his tackling never got any better.
Mm-mm.
He had one tackle against Buffalo this year before we traded him.
Jesus.
And that was it. And yes, that was a great tackle, but that's like one in a million.
And I think the reason why most Packer fans want to resign guys like Haha is because of his loyalty to the team. But it's like, you can't always do that, dude. It's like, if that's the case, we'll just be resigning everyone back. We might as well resign Donald Driver if that's the case.
Right. Get him out of retirement if he's not too busy dancing with the stars again. Oh, man. But another thing about free agency here is a lot of people were saying that we overpaid these guys. However, while Brian Gutekunst is very much responsible for these players' signings, the money, he doesn't handle the money side of things. Mm-hmm. It's Russ Ball.
Yeah, shout out to Russ Ball.
Yeah, he did a really good job structuring these contracts. He made it so that they're getting a lot of their money up front the first 2 years when the salary, and then it gets a lot better as their deals go on.
Mm-hmm.
So they're getting the bulk out of the way, and then they're just steadily paying them.
Yeah.
And I like that. I like that a lot. Just bite the bullet a little bit first, and then go along. And honestly, if it doesn't work out those 2 years and we cut them, that's why he signed them for the bulk of 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
If they start to fall off after those 2 years and we cut them, that's not a lot of dead money that we have to eat.
Exactly. Unlike guys like Nick Perry that, you know, we paid him so much money.
Oh, my God.
And they performed the way they did. Jesus Christ.
He's Seattle's problem potentially now.
Oh, God.
Yeah, apparently he's visiting with the Seahawks.
That's sick.
That's funny as hell. I hope he makes the team. I hope he's their starting edge rusher. I hope he's... what's his name? Frick, man. He's that other edge rusher that they had that kind of broke out this year, number 55. Ah, shit, that's going to bother me all night. I'll update it next episode. But also, do you think that we overspent on any of these players, though?
No, and I'm going to get into that. The reason why I don't think we overpaid for anyone is because the Darius Smith, Preston Smith, they're both coming out of breakout years. And yeah. I know a lot of people are going to be like, well, that doesn't mean anything. This year they could downfall. No, I don't think that's the case.
Yeah, he didn't actually. Preston Smith only had 4.5 sacks. But the year before, Preston Smith had double-digit sacks, I believe. He only had 4.5 this year. But the thing is, we have a lot better of a defensive coordinator than those two. Well, Ravens' defense was actually spectacular last year.
It was.
But the thing is, though, I think Pettine is going to look at how the Ravens used Za'Darius Smith, because they used him both as a defensive end in a 3-4 and as an outside linebacker. So they lined him up inside and outside. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's awesome how versatile he could be in certain packages.
Yeah.
And Preston Smith, honestly, he's going to be our speed guy, I think. I think Za'Darius Smith is going to be more of our power guy. I could be wrong, but
we need to have that.
Yeah, you just need to have that blend of speed and power on the edge.
Oh yeah, something like, I think Clay Matthews is something like that. To be honest with you,
he was speed. Well, yeah. Perry was supposed to be the power guy.
Huh.
Perry was just, he was more of a run stuffer than a pass rusher.
Yeah, I agree.
1 year he had 11.5 sacks. 1 year. That was worth paying him all that money. Thanks, Ted.
I mean, look at Kyler Fackrell, dude. That guy had 8 sacks.
He had 11.5.
Oh, he had 11.5?
Oh, Kyler had 10.5. That's right.
10.5, okay.
Yeah, but the thing is, Kyler Fackrell, who had 4 career sacks going into this year, got 10.5. That tells you how good Mike Pettine is as his defensive coordinator.
Exactly. Exactly.
So imagine what he's going to do with the guy who led the Ravens in sacks last year in Za'Darius Smith and a budding pass rusher in Preston Smith.
And yeah. Then if we go into the draft, which I know is our next topic, draft a guy, you know, like a pass rusher, you know, like Brian Burns, Montez Sweat. Dude, oh my God.
I don't even think that we need an edge rusher that early because of these two signings. I think we need to focus on other areas like
offense, tight end, maybe an offensive line.
Oh, yeah, I agree for sure. But right now, we're going to go to break here and take a word from our sponsors here. And we're back. And now we're going to be talking about the draft here since it's coming up in less than a month. And actually, this is like the most excited I've been for a draft in a while because honestly, like, I'm okay with multiple selections.
Definitely, I agree with you. So honestly, I'm really pumped. I mean, the first year I was super excited simply because, you know, new GM, new rookies, new, you know, expecting guys, you know, to make an impact on the team. And, you know, honestly, I think Gutekunst did a really good job his first year with the draft. And you can only imagine what he's going to do next. You know,
Yeah, for sure. I mean, a lot of people are saying that, like, it's not a big deal that we only got the 30th pick in the draft this year from the Saints because, you know, a 30th pick is basically a second-round pick. I disagree because you can package that into trades to move even further up. Definitely. Exactly. Like, a first round pick is a first round pick, no matter how you slice it. And honestly, we could trade down too.
We could.
Yeah, because, like, we tried that whole thing when we got Kevin King, when everyone thought we should have gotten TJ Watt, including me.
Including myself.
I mean, don't get me wrong, Kevin King's good when he's on the field, but the key word is he has to be on the field.
And he has to be healthy. Yeah.
No kidding. And basically, like, I'm so excited for this draft because there are so many different positions that I would be fine with us getting. Like, before, I was like, edge or cornerback or bust. But now,
yeah,
but now I don't even have cornerback on my knees because we addressed that last year. And Jair Alexander is turning out to be a really good player for us. I think he was the second best rookie in all of football last year. Second best rookie corner.
Yep, he was.
Behind Denzel Ward.
Oh, yeah, dude. I would have been fine with getting Denzel Ward. But
we
wouldn't
have been able to get, him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Side note, the Browns had a really good draft, too, and that's why they're on the uptrend.
Oh, yeah, they're going
to right? Who ever thought that we're actually predicting the Browns to win the AFC North? Like, what kind...
And whoever disagrees, you need to watch out. I'm telling you, this team is something to look out for.
Like, I feel like...
Now, I'm not saying a Super Bowl run, but there's something...
Oh, man, like, I feel like we've entered the Twilight Zone where... where the Browns are suddenly good. But
that division, oh Jesus Christ, it's like the Patriots. It's like the Patriots. They're the Patriots of that division now, in my opinion.
We'll have to see about that, but that brings me to believe, well, that brings me to our front office, because a lot of the Browns front office used to work for the Packers.
That's
you
true.
Have Elliot Wolf, you have I think John Dorsey used to work for the Packers. And a lot of really good executives, John Schneider in Seattle, he's a prime example as well. Like, they've come from Green Bay, and I think that that just speaks to how we develop guys here. But does that mean that we should be hiring people? Well, does that mean that we should have elevated Elliot Wolf to GM? A lot of people are saying that we should have. However, I get the other side as well, saying he was too young to do it and he needed more experience first.
Right.
I think, though, if this draft class that they take this year blows it out of the water, if it's really good, I think Elliot Wolf, who is in the scouting department, will get a GM job somewhere.
Yeah, I think I agree with you, honestly, 100%.
Oh, like, I can think of so many teams that need a new GM. Like, Arizona. That's a mess in itself, Arizona.
They really wasted a draft pick on Josh Rosen, who had such a disappointing season.
Well, the thing is, I think they're giving up on Rosen too quickly. My philosophy, especially for quarterbacks, is you've got to give them 2 or 3 years before you think about getting rid of them.
And plus, you didn't really have that much weapons with them, really, besides that rookie wide receiver.
And plus Larry Fitzgerald, Christian.
Yeah, and Larry. Yeah.
Christian Kirk is that rookie you were talking about.
Yeah, there you go, Christian Kirk.
He had 44 catches and missed 4 games. I think he's going to be good. But the thing is, they have so many other holes besides quarterback, and the fact that they're thinking about taking Kyler Murray because they think he fits their new head coach's system better is just asinine to me.
It's just ridiculous, honestly. It is.
But you know what? It's probably still going to be in my mock drafts that I put out. So, anyways, moving on. Who are some players that you are looking at in the draft?
All right, so originally, before, you know, the free agency, I had us taking at 12, Ja'Kai Polite. Now, after the draft, you know, not the draft, excuse me, the combine stuff and hearing what, you know, people had to say about Polite, I instantly took him off.
And same.
You know, that's when we addressed our, you know, edge rushers. I took him off immediately because of how he presented himself.
Yeah.
He had the worst attitude, like Odell Beckham. And it was such a diva about things.
I don't even think Odell was that bad. Because the thing with Ja'Kai is, I get that he's young. He's 20 years old. However, the combine is a job interview. He was complaining about them grilling about mistakes that he made that are on tape. That he yeah. took that as an attack. That's not an attack. To me, that was the front office, the representatives of the front office, the scouts, preparing him for media interviews. Because if he's going to be a first-round pick, he's going to face the media a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to ask him some questions like, what happened on this play? When this happened,
oh, yeah.
why did this happen? And they were preparing him for that.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that he just took it as an insult just shows how much maturing he has to do. And plus, his 40 times were terrible, and he blamed it on an injury. And he pulled himself out of workouts after that because he didn't like that he didn't do well. He basically rage quit.
Pretty much. And now that just takes him from being a first round pick to at least a second or third in my
opinion. I still think he'll go in the second just because he does have first round tape. He does have a mm-hmm. he has the tape of a first rounder. But
he is a good yeah. player. He is. It's just that attitude he has.
Exactly. But before the free agency, I was in love with either Montez Sweat or Brian Burns.
Yep, I also have him on my list here as well.
Oh man. I got to see Montez Sweat run that 4.4140 live.
Jesus.
Oh my god. That was like, you'd have to be like silent while watching the combine, and I had to hold my breath just to be like, oh my god. Oh, shout out to Jaguars fan Jagginoff. He was with me there.
Oh, he was
yeah,
there?
He was with me. We were hanging out that weekend.
Nice.
Yep, he drove all the way from Baltimore, so shout out to him.
Damn. That's ridiculous.
Right?
But what I was going to say was, you know, when you were there at the Combine, who was someone that caught your attention that, you know, you didn't really have on your mock draft for us, man. You know, to take?
Well, I still think Edge could be something that we take in the later rounds.
Mm-hmm.
Someone that kind of caught my eye, sort of, it was like an outside chance of us getting him, but I liked what I saw. It was Anthony Nelson, the edge rusher out of Iowa.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I liked him. His athleticism is a lot better than a guy at 280 pounds should be. He's 6'8", 280 pounds, but his athleticism is fantastic. Well, it's better than what I expected for a guy his size.
Wow.
the guy who was, he was pretty much like the person, like he was setting them, I guess, spotting them. Yeah, he was the spotter. Dude was like encouraging like these guys like before they were going, like especially the big stars like Ed Oliver and Christian Wilkins from Clemson, and he was like,
oh, nice.
He was like slapping them on the stomach, saying like let's get it and stuff like that. Like, oh my god, Ed Oliver, man,
another name on my list,
right? But the thing is, I don't know if he fits the athletic profile that the Packers like to take, and that makes me mad because I know he's going to be a good player because he's really short for his position, and he's 290 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah, like they were requesting him to do linebacker drills at the combine.
Really?
Yeah, that's how light he is for his position.
So I wonder if a team that picks him up will put him as a linebacker then, rather than is he a defensive tackle?
Yeah, he's a defensive tackle, but I think he could play any position on a defensive
on that line.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Except maybe nose, probably because. Like he's a little smaller than a BJ Rodney.
Yeah, yeah.
But Ed Oliver, like, he's been falling because he had like an incident on the sidelines with his coach But honestly, that was really silly to me. It was over like a hoodie or something like that.
Oh yeah, you see, that's not bad. If it was like over like some playtime or something, then that's all.
Right, story. Like his coach was like, "Take that hoodie off," or whatever.
Oh, that's not bad.
In my opinion, yeah, that's not bad at all. Another player that I would love to get, and I know that this is going outside of the who was on your board that you didn't originally have on your board, but oh my god, Christian Wilkins from Clemson. He is a dominant force, that defensive tackle, really? Number 42. Look up his tape.
42. I'm gonna watch him right now. 42.
Yeah, Christian Wilkins.
Christian Wilkins.
Player on that Clemson D-line. I know that Cleveland Farrell is going to go before him because edge rusher is more valuable than a defensive tackle. But, right. Oh my god, Christian Wilkins is so good.
And that's the type of players that, you know, that people sleep on, really, in my honest opinion.
Oh yeah, like, people slept on Kenny Clark hardcore. I slept on Kenny Clark.
You know, a guy from UCLA, I mean, look at Brent Hundley. He came from UCLA, he's like, oh dude, he's going to be trash. But he turned out to be a pretty good player, honestly, a defensive tackle.
Oh, he had a breakout.
Well, he's a nose tackle now, right?
Oh yeah, he's our nose tackle. But the thing is, Kenny Clark, he is
he's a force.
He's so underrated. I think he's the most underrated player on this team.
Next to Daniels. You have to give it to Daniels.
Oh, very underrated. I like Daniels, but he's had a down couple of years. I think he's got a lot to prove in this contract year coming up.
Yeah, because next year he's a free agent, right? Yeah.
If he walks, then defensive line becomes a real issue.
Uh-huh. I agree.
That's why I also have this idea in my head that we should go D-line early just to address that in case it does happen.
Yeah. And a lot of Packer fans are going to be upset that, you know, we both say that because they're like, oh, we need edge rushers, we need the corner.
I don't think
this and that.
I don't think edge rusher is that much of a problem anymore.
Maybe in the sixth round, if anything, because, you know, most gems are in the sixth round.
I might take a swing on someone in the fourth round if the value is there.
Yeah, you never know. It could be someone that catches, you know, good against attention.
Rotation is still important. You want to keep players fresh.
Right.
Like, you don't want a player to get worn out because they're playing every single snap.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, this isn't Madden where you can just play a player and it doesn't look like they're tired.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think corner might have become a slight need. A slight need.
I have corner as our need on here on my list. I don't have a player in particular. Maybe a Greedy Williams, but he'll go in the first round, like the first top 10 picks, in my opinion.
The thing with Greedy that concerns me is people are questioning his love for the game of football.
Really?
Yeah, I've heard that from people, and I mean. I mean, people say that about a lot of
players.
But, like, a lot of those players still turn out to be pretty damn good.
Yeah. You know, like Le'Veon Bell, dude, this guy, he just shows that he's, like, all for the money.
Right. Oh, man. Le'Veon Bell got gypped. He played himself.
He really did.
Like, he could have gotten more money. The Steelers offered him more money than the Jets did. Look at the deal. Like, and now, because he pretty much made himself a villain in Pittsburgh, they don't want to sign him back for that much money.
Nope.
They would rather keep the cheaper option in James Conner, who I don't...
Hey, he's good.
Yeah, I was like, he's much better. He's on a rookie deal. He pretty much gave you the same production that Le'Veon Bell was going to give you this year.
He might even do better, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, like, the stats he had were pretty much the stats I predicted for Le'Veon this year. So,
really?
Yeah. Speaking of running backs, a lot of people are thinking that running back is on our list of needs. Like, I've seen mock drafts with us getting Josh Jacobs, the running back from Alabama.
Bad timing.
I don't even think this running back class is that good.
It's not.
Like,
it's not.
I know two running backs that I would take in the early rounds. Just two. that's Josh Jacobs. I think he's a great running back. He's the best in this class, even though that's not saying much. But and also David Montgomery from Iowa State. He's actually good. And I know people, Packers fans are like rolling their eyes when they hear the last name Montgomery. But
I was just about to say Montgomery. Jesus.
Have fun with him, Baltimore.
God, man, what is Baltimore doing with Ty Montgomery?
They're turning that offense into like, we're just gonna run the ball and that's it. unless Lamar Jackson learns how to throw a football.
He's pretty much their starting running back.
I know, right?
Is he always running every play? It's like, dude.
And plus, one of their running backs got arrested. Well, actually, they have Mark Ingram now, so.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, so that just became a more deadly offense. But their starting running back before him, Alex Collins, he got arrested for beating a woman.
Oh, God.
I know, right?
What is up with these people doing this stuff?
It's the money. They think they have the power to do whatever they want.
And they'll get out of jail and all this stuff.
Yep, exactly.
It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Also, wide receiver, I think, is a need. However, I don't think it's just any wide receiver that we take. We need to take a slot receiver to replace Randall Cobb.
Yeah, what do you... There's, what was his name? Moncrief, or what was his name?
Mm-hmm.
He's a wide receiver. Moncrief, he's a... What's his name? He's a college.
Oh,
Dante.
No, Dante. Yeah, he's in the NFL.
What's his name? He's like a really popular name. DJ. No, what's his name?
Deebo Samuel.
No.
Marquise Brown.
Damn, I'm gonna get so mad that I don't remember.
AJ Brown.
No, I'm so mad now. I don't remember his name. I'll have to send it to you later, but. There was this one wide receiver that really stood out to me. Damn.
DK Metcalf.
There you go. I wasn't even close. That's what it was.
Yeah, DK Metcalf. I have him going in the early first round because his 40-yard dash was ridiculous. It was a 4.33. For a guy his size, that's insane. However, let me pull up his spider chart here.
A 4.33. What did Marquez Valdes-Scantling run? Didn't he run a similar time or no?
Wait, what was that?
MVS, Marquez Valdes-Scantling? What was his?
I don't know.
Because I think he ran something similar.
What?
I think he ran something similar.
Oh, yeah, he ran a really quick 40. I think it was like a 4.31, I want to say. But the thing is, DK is much bigger than MVS, especially in bulk. Did you see that picture going around?
Oh, that's him. Yeah. That's the guy. Yeah. He's all freaking swole.
The dude pretty much looks like a Batman costume.
Oh, God.
Like, that's literally a player.
He is. He's bulky, dude. That guy is
like, I thought that was a linebacker I was looking at.
Same.
The thing is, though, I pull up his spider chart, which tells you, like, how they tested and stuff at the combine.
Uh-huh.
And his spider chart showed that his 40-yard dash, no, not 40-yard dash, his three-cone drill was actually worse mm-hmm. than Tom Brady's when Tom Brady was in the combine.
Jesus.
That's what's so confusing. That's what's confusing about DK. He runs in a straight line really well, but he's got hips of an 80-year-old woman. Like he's got no change of direction ability, and that's just, oh my God. Like, I thought I was looking at the perfect, like, the next Calvin Johnson when I saw that run. But when I saw his three-cone drill, I was like, oh.
He's about to break a hip. Jesus.
This is ridiculous. Like, I thought we had something special here, DK, but... No, the person that I'm really looking at, though, a lot of people want to say Marquise Brown from Oklahoma just because he's Antonio Brown's cousin. However, the guy is 5'9 and 166 pounds.
this guy's gonna get freaking splattered.
Right?
I'm taller than him by 1 inch.
I mean, granted, like, there are short receivers in the league, like Tyreek Hill, but...
But still, you just like, do you really want to take that chance? All of our wide receivers are 6 feet and taller. Yeah,
he's 166 pounds, though. It's... Oh, my God. I am, like, 100 pounds bigger than him.
Dude. He's about to be out for, like, the season if you take
something with Oklahoma. They like those short, skinny players. Kyler Murray, Marquise Brown, Baker Mayfield wasn't even tall.
How tall is he? Like, what, 5?
6 foot.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, shit.
Like, I think he was like 5'11 in college, but he grew an inch for the combine. But, like, there were rumors before the combine that Kyler Murray was 5'8". I was like, if he plays quarterback in the NFL, he's not even going to be able to see over his offensive linemen.
He's going to have to be staying on his tippy toes.
He'd have to play in shotgun the whole time.
Jesus.
He wouldn't be able to play under center if he were 5'8".
That's true.
But, But Hollywood Brown is an intriguing choice, but Deebo Samuel from South Carolina, he would be my choice for sure.
Deebo Samuel?
He's really good. He kind of reminds me of Randall Cobb in his prime. Also, Paris Campbell from Ohio State, I like him a lot. He showed a lot what he can do at the combine, even though at Ohio State he mostly just caught it and ran. But at the combine, he showed that he can run routes. Yeah. Oh, really? So there are a lot of good slot receivers that I would definitely take.
Yeah, we do need a slot receiver because right now, who do we have? Adams, Allison,
MVS,
MVS, my boy EQ, Jamon Moore, Trevor Davis.
No, Trevor Davis got cut.
He's cut?
We waived him.
Oh, Jesus, thank God. So what? We have 5
wide receivers. Kumaro.
Oh, Jay Kumaro. How can I
touchdown forget? Jesus.
There you go. He freaking broke his shoulder or something and was out for like a cool minute.
Yeah, but then like he was on the field and you saw that he can be good.
He can. He's like, honestly, I know people are going to get mad, but he's like Jordy, bro. Honestly.
I can see it. I can see it happening. Oh, man.
Speaking of Jordy.
Yep, we got to talk about it.
Yeah, we have to. I don't want to, but we have to address it. Yeah. Jordy's retiring from the NFL.
After 10 seasons, and a lot of Packers fans thought he should have played all of his 10 seasons in Green Bay. But, you know, that's the thing. We addressed this earlier. We can't be too emotional about players. Like, the NFL is a business. Yeah. And Jordy just wasn't producing in 2017.
And, you know, a lot of people are going to be like...
I think the thing that separated Devontae from Jordy last year was how they performed with Brett Hundley at quarterback.
There you go. That's exactly what I was going to say. Mm-hmm. Hundley was more comfortable with Adams.
Oh, yeah. And the thing is, Adams produced even with Brett Hundley. Jordy, you just noticed he wasn't getting open. Like, the timing was off. Man, it was frustrating to watch a lot of the time. I remember, I don't even want to remember,
but we have to.
Not even bagging on Brett Hundley. Well, yes, I am bagging on Brett Hundley here. I remember there was this one play, Jordy was wide open for the.
Was it the one downfield in the middle?
Yep.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I forget what team that was against, but oh, my God, he's right there. He's looking to his left. I'm just like, what are you doing, Jordy? Not Jordy. Brett Hundley. He's actually the backup in Arizona now.
I know. I was going to say, Seattle cut him for a reason. I think he was chewing more gum than freaking Pete Carroll was.
That's why they let him go, because he was stealing Pete Carroll's stash.
For real.
Jesus. Like, they were opening up his locker, and a bunch of gum just fell out, and Pete was just like, there it went! Brett! I'm not re-signing you!
He's just sitting there smacking his gum up.
So, that pissed me off so much that he would just chew gum while playing.
God, and it's in the press conferences, too. That would piss me so off. God. Stop.
And I know Aaron Rodgers didn't perform up to our expectations this year, but a lot of it was, a lot of people failed to realize that McCarthy had a lot to do with it.
Exactly.
McCarthy was not getting it done anymore, and he refused to innovate. He refused to catch up to what the NFL is now.
We were so predictable. Like, honestly,
I can tell, really predictable.
It's
going to be a run.
Mm-hmm. That's how it was the whole season. I'm like, oh, yeah, we're going to run it. Oh, yeah, we're stuffed. Yep, yeah, we're done.
Watch. This is going to be one of those plays where Rodgers tries to look deep downfield. And then...
And McCarthy, dude, he just expected Rodgers to pull magic out of him.
Exactly. Butt. Also, he hardly used his tight ends, and that infuriated me. Like, over the years, he refused to use his tight ends. He didn't use JerMichael Finley effectively. He didn't... Well, I mean, Corliss wasn't that great, but he was still effective in somewhat.
Yeah, Andrew Corliss.
Yeah. I thought he was all right. Then, of course, Martellus Bennett even talked about this. He said that McCarthy's scheme is the worst scheme for a tight end.
It's true. I mean, Martellus Bennett, I was a huge fan of the signing because, you know, he had some good production in New England.
And in Chicago.
Yeah, in Chicago, too. And then he had some great moments here, not too spectacular, like, oh, my God, but, you know, no. It was great enough to...
Really spectacular moments. Like, I hardly ever saw him catch the ball.
Yeah, like, he had some good moments, but it wasn't spectacular, like I said. But we weren't using them right. And I think that's why a lot of people, like, you know, myself, I said, let's cut Jimmy Graham or let's go after a new head coach that's going to definitely use our tight ends more because our tight ends are good.
Right. And a lot of people fail to realize Jimmy Graham was playing hurt half the year.
With a broken thumb, right?
It's hard to catch a football with a broken thumb. I don't know if you've tried.
No, I've never broken a bone in my body, thank God.
We have TJ Hockenson.
Yep, another one on my list. TJ Hockenson, Noah Fant.
Oh, man. Noah Fant and TJ Hockenson blew that combine out of the water. Iowa just knows how to make tight ends now because George Kittle came from there.
He's honestly, dude, there's a huge debate going on who's the best tight end.
Between Kelsey and Kittle.
Yes. And Zach Ertz came into the mix, but I'm just like...
Ertz is good. Ertz is a great route runner.
I just think, honestly, it would come down to, in my opinion, Kelsey or Kittle.
Yeah, I can see that. Thing is, Kittle is a great athlete.
He is.
No, wait. Kelsey is also a great athlete. Ertz is a really good route runner. It's so weird. We're talking about the top tight ends in the league, and we're not saying Gronk. It's so weird.
It is. I think he's a good tight end.
Yeah.
He was very reliable, but I don't even know what to say right now because like the fact that he's retiring. I don't know. What's your insight?
A lot of people are saying that he's gonna come back and pull a Jason Witten, but I'm just like, dude. Have you seen Gronk, like, with the paparazzi and everything? That dude just wants to party. He wants to go to nightclubs. Dude wants to get wasted. Like, there's literally videos of him, like, after the Super Bowl, after losing the Super Bowl, at a nightclub dancing.
God.
Just like, this dude just wants to party. mean, he's arguably the best tight end of all time, no doubt, but he's definitely not coming back.
No. Definitely
right.
Not.
But a lot of people have been comparing Hockenson to Gronk.
What was it that you called him?
Yeah, Baby Gronk. Because this dude can block, he can catch, you can put him out in the slot at wide receiver. Mm. Oh my god. Aaron Rodgers would not complain about that. And a lot of people are saying 12 is too high for a tight end.
Dude, it's one of our needs.
I disagree with the notion that it's too high, because you're looking for good football players. You're not looking for, oh, like, this position should be drafted here. No, if they're good at what they do, you take them.
Yeah, right now, at this point, it's best available.
Yeah, player. Exactly. At this I wouldn't point. Be mad if we got Noah Fant at 30, though. Because...
Double up on tight end.
Nah, I don't know about that yet.
You wouldn't? You
I wouldn't draft two tight ends in one round. Not at all.
No, I wouldn't do it in one round. I'm saying, like, draft one here.
Fant?
And then maybe later.
Nah, Fant's not going to make it out of the first round.
Yeah, he'll go first.
Yeah, he'll go. Both of them are going in the first round. It's just Hockenson's going to go a lot earlier.
Oh, yeah.
Because a lot of people doubt Fant's blocking skills, and I don't know where that's coming from. I think his blocking skills are just fine. I mean, they're not as good as Hockenson's, clearly, but...
But still, it gets adopted.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, if we take him, he's faster than Hockenson. I'll give him that.
Mm-hmm.
He ran a really good 40. I forgot what his time was, but I know it was, like, really good. It really wowed us.
I wouldn't mind drafting either one. Noah Fant or Hockenson, but if I had the choice, I'm taking Hockenson.
For sure.
Just because of what he provides me.
And other tight ends that we shouldn't sleep on. Jace Sternberger from Texas A&M. Dude caught 10 touchdowns last year for Texas A&M in his senior season.
We're having an interview with him, right? That's the one you told me about?
April
1st?
Oh, man, I hope that's not an April Fool's Day joke.
I hope not either, because it's going to piss me
off. You're right. Oh, man.
I wouldn't mind
it. Yeah, me neither. I mean, actually, this tight end class is a lot deeper than a lot of people think. There's another one from, I think it's San Jose State, Josh Oliver. He's pretty decent. Yeah. Okay, this tight end draft class is probably one of the best I've seen in years, to say the least. But this is also a deep class for a defensive lineman, like, and that's really good for us. Like, I feel like this is the draft we've been waiting for.
And hopefully we do go for some defensive lineman pieces.
Yeah, no kidding.
I just don't understand why Packer fans get pissed off that we address other positions, you know?
You like... win the game in the trenches.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And interior pass rush is becoming more and more important in the game this
year.
Oh,
yeah.
You know what a quarterback hates the most? When a big, fat defensive lineman is coming straight towards him. That causes him to panic.
Hell yeah. I'll be the same way. If I see some big old freaking 300, almost 400-pound guy coming after me, I'm running for my life.
Exactly. And that's what people fail to realize. And plus the fact that these big guys are fast. Like, they're running...
Yeah.
They're running, like, 4.8 40-yard dashes.
And that's ridiculous. Like, dude, these guys are just... Oh, God.
So, I think people are really underestimating the tight end position. Not tight end, defensive line.
Defensive line.
People underestimate the tight end position too, but that's neither here nor there. We already talked about tight end. Safety is another thing that I think we could still address.
I agree with you. Either at 30 or what was it, 44?
Yeah.
Honestly, I like Chauncey. I know you had your like opinions about him. I like Chauncey.
I love Chauncey.
Or Deontay Thompson.
I love Chauncey. Deontay Thompson, though, kind of scares me because later part of the season, Dude was terrible in the college football playoff. He was awful. Like, Trevor Lawrence, a true freshman, took this guy's lunch money. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love Trevor Lawrence, the quarterback at Clemson. He's a baller. Oh my god. You know what? If he's gonna be in the draft in 2021, part of me is just like, take him. pull an Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre.
Oh god. I would do it too. I think we should take a quarterback eventually. Not this year. Not even next year. No, but maybe, you know, 2021. I think that's the appropriate time for it because, you know, like I said earlier, Rodgers isn't getting any younger. So
exactly.
And that's the sad part, bro. I'm like, oh, bro, please don't leave us.
Someone was telling me the other day that Trevor Lawrence looks like Link from The Legend of Zelda. I see it. I'm looking at a picture of him right now, and I'm just like, yeah. Hey, then that means green is an even better color for him.
Hey, there you go. That's right. But, yeah, Taylor Rapp, too. I know you like
him. Oh, yeah, I like Taylor Rapp. I think he's better as a strong safety than a free safety. He's a guy that can play in the box. He can do single high coverage. He just doesn't make a lot of mind-blowing plays.
Right.
I also like Jonathan Abram, especially as a tackler. Like, this guy would rather you put you in the hospital than let you get a touchdown.
Oh yeah, I remember you sent me a highlight of this.
Yeah, Abram.
I like
him
too.
Oh man. Nazir Adderley, though, is my favorite safety.
Oh, that's him. Yeah, him. Nazir how do you say his last name?
Adderley.
Yep. There you go. Bro.
And he's the younger cousin of Packers legend Herb Adderley.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Continue that legacy.
Dude. This safety class is pretty...
Yeah, I was originally skeptical about it because I thought that the best safety was either Marvell Tell from USC or Jaquan Johnson from Miami. But as the year went by, I was like, those guys aren't very good. But then I saw other safeties like Adderley, and I was just like, oh, there's hope for this class yet.
I'm just over guys from USC and UCLA. I don't know why. I'm sorry. But...
Hey, Clay Matthews came from USC.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah,
but still, God, it's like
I'm kind of over just people from the Pac-12 in general. We Same. Get Pac-12. Man, there were times when Ted Thompson was our GM. I was like, I don't know who we're picking, but he's gonna be from the Pac-12. He's gonna be
sure enough
from Stanford. He's gonna be from. Well, we never selected any Oregon players. He's gonna be from Washington. He's going to be from USC. He's going to be from UCLA. He's going to... I was just like... It's just too obvious. It was too obvious with Ted. Yeah. And then when I saw that Brian Gutekunst got a Louisville player, I was like, what? ACC? I was like, I already like this guy.
Yeah, I mean, I like this. I like the fact that he wants to, like, change things around here. You know, he's not afraid to test the water.
He wants to change the culture, and that's something I truly appreciate about him.
Yeah, because, I mean, Matt LaFleur, dude, we got to give him credit, too. He's going to – honestly, I have a strong feeling he's going to change.
Oh, yeah, I like his press conference, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a lot more comfortable talking to the media than McCarthy ever was.
Oh, definitely.
McCarthy at the podium was just like, it was the same thing every time we lost. Every time.
You know, we have to make improvements. You know, we have to get better. Like, how? We're gonna
watch the tape, and we're gonna make these adjustments.
And you got freaking barbecue sauce on the left side of
his lazy eye. Oh man. I appreciate everything Mike did for this organization, but it was time.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, man.
Jesus Christ. And the thing I like the most about Matt LaFleur is how he knows that Aaron Jones is a monster at running back, and he's going to be giving him the ball so much more.
And you saw what Derrick Henry did last year when Matt LaFleur was the Titans.
Dude, Derrick Henry's a beast. He was just running over people. This guy was...
Oh, yeah.
Dude, Aaron Jones is gonna, I think he'll make the Pro Bowl.
I remember this. Didn't Aaron Jones flat out truck Everson Griffin?
Yep. On the yep.
Oh my god! When I saw that, I had to rewind it. I had to rewind it and watch it.
You can hear the impact too.
So, like, even though this guy is like 5'9", I think, like, he's still gonna run you over, and I love that.
Oh, speaking of, I know it's different, you know, side of the ball, but what's his name? Jair Alexander, when you put Diggs and Thielen on their ass? Dude, this guy's how tall, how short, and he put both of you on their ass?
He pushed one of them into the other. That was hilarious.
And it's like, dude, he has that much force, dude. Imagine when he hits
you. Oh, my God. He's a superstar.
Hell yeah, dude. I like his energy, dude. This guy is just so energetic.
Oh, yeah. I like his energy. I like his swagger. Like, he was recording. He did a Snapchat after the Bills game. He was like, we just got the W. Yeah. And look at the scoreboard. Look what they got. Zero.
Yeah, I like Alexander, dude. I really do.
Josh Jackson, he needs to show me a lot more, though.
Yeah, because, like, I was all for him last season when we drafted him. Because, you know, I love what I seen with his production in Iowa. Yeah. But I don't know. I think maybe...
There was something that I did have, like, a low-key fear about. And that was his speed. And that now looking at his first year in the NFL... I was right. Like, I hate saying it, but I was right about his speed. I was like, oh my god.
Because he had his moments, but he was just... It reminded me too much of Demarius Randle, to be honest. Now, I know it's a bad comparison, but that's what it reminded me
of. I'm so mad. Like, I was so happy originally when we got rid of Demarius Randle. Then seeing him play at his natural position in Cleveland, and he actually did a really good job. And we got DeShone Kizer in return.
Okay. I like DeShone Kizer. And it's not because I'm a Notre Dame fan. But damn it, dude. Kizer, you have to get it together, dude. If not, you're going to see your way out of it.
Right?
Because he has potential. I like Kizer because he does have potential to be a good quarterback.
Oh, man. He was the first I'd ever seen play quarterback for the Packers in that short time that he was playing in the first Bears game.
I don't want to be reminded.
He gave Khalil Mack the ball twice. He practically handed it to him.
He was like, "Here you go, Khalil. Don't hurt me, please."
Like, I was just like, "Kizer," and that was when I was scared that we'd lost Rodgers for the season.
Oh, please, I don't want to be reminded.
I was just like, is this what we're going to see all freaking year? I was like, Nick Bosa, number one pick. Let's go, baby. Oh, man.
Jesus. God.
Speaking of Bosa, I think he's going to go to San Francisco even though they got Dee Ford. What do you think about the fact that we weren't able to trade for Dee Ford?
Okay. I was disappointed, but then I get satisfied. We got two players. Okay, the Chiefs traded him for a pick. What was the pick? Second round pick, or let's just say it was a pick. I don't know which round it was. The fact that we couldn't match that kind of upsets me. But then again, Goody knows what he's doing. He knew what he was doing. Something didn't catch his attention about Dee Ford.
The thing that I like about Goody is He always puts himself in the mix. Ted Thompson, he would just be like, oh, free agency? That's my vacation. Like, Goody is actually listening to people. He's making calls. He's saying, right. Hey, what do you want for this guy? Hey, what are you thinking? Hey, like, what can I get you? What can I get from you if we do this as well?
Right.
But, like, you just, it's like night and day.
Mm. No days off for Goody, honestly.
Right? Oh, my God. All right, talking about Ted Thompson, you remember that one shot of Ted Thompson last...
And he was just like, oh my, was he just sitting in the office?
When his mouth was hanging open, just like...
Oh my God, like he was like dozing off, like he had like Alzheimer's and didn't know where he was.
Just like, that is the most embarrassing thing a Packers fan will ever remember. One of the most...
And it turned out to be a meme eventually.
Oh my God, right? Like, there's GIFs everywhere of it.
It's like, that reminds me of the Pikachu meme when his mouth is all open like that. That's what it reminded me of.
It reminded me of the Get Out movie. By the way, you saw Us, right?
Yeah, that was a really great movie.
Oh my God. That ending just blew my mind.
It did. I was just, at first, me and my girl were kind of confused, but then after, like, I sat there and analyzed it, I was like, okay, it makes sense.
I was like, no.
I know. I was like, wait, what the hell? Bro, I was like, this is a great movie. I liked it.
Man, Jordan Peele's becoming one of my favorite directors.
He's going to be a really great director.
Oh, yeah. Honestly. I think, honestly, even though he's only done two films, I think he's going to get up there with Alfred Hitchcock when it comes to horror films.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
That was a really great movie. I'm still, I want to see it again, to be honest. That's how good it was.
Same. But yeah, speaking of horror movies, last season. oh man. So, what do you think that we will be able to see? What do you think is going to be different with Matt LaFleur's offense compared to Mike McCarthy's?
Okay. McCarthy did not use his tight ends, did not give Aaron Jones the ball. Matt LaFleur addressed both things in his conferences and knows that Aaron Jones is a beast. So we will see Aaron Jones with the ball more, a lot more. Use Jamal Williams, you know, when it's like a third down conversion. Yeah. We will see our tight ends utilize a ton more.
I agree. Like, Mercedes Lewis is actually going to be used a lot more.
Yeah, Mercedes Lewis ain't that bad, but...
Mercedes Lewis, I think, is the best, like, blocking tight end on our team. He's one of the best blocking tight ends in the NFL.
Yeah, he is. Meanwhile, Lance Kendrick can't even catch a damn ball to save our life for nothing.
I forgot what game that was when he dropped the ball there.
It would have saved our ass.
What game was that? Oh my God.
It was close to the end of the season, like five games away from the end of the season.
Oh man. Is that the Bears game? The second one? Vikings game, maybe? Is it the Seattle game? Oh my God.
Uh-huh.
It was the Seattle. Oh my
God. It was. Because there was like a few seconds left. And Rodgers was like, what the hell?
I think Jimmy Graham dropped a catch that game too.
For a touchdown, yep.
Oh my God. Rodgers would have had like four touchdowns that game.
God. I hope we play Seattle again. I want us to kick their ass.
Man. We were kicking their ass too.
I don't know what
I want to see. Actually, I know we're talking about drafting a tight end. I want to see more of Robert Tonyan.
Yes, I totally forgot that we had him. I don't know why, but that one catch that he had.
That was a magical throw by Aaron too.
That was like a Hail Mary 4.0. It was.
You ain't never lied before.
So I would love to see Robert Tonyan. I think we will.
Yeah. Oh, man. All right. So we talked about free agency. We talked about the draft. Now let's get into the whole, I think we touched on this a little bit earlier, but I think we need to go more in depth with it. Adrian Amos versus Ha Ha Clinton Dix. Mm-hmm. Bears fans are, totally Bears fans are saying, our deal is risk-free. We only paid him $3 million this year. And you know what? That is a good deal. Ha Ha Clinton Dix, I think it's worth more than $3 million. They did it right.
Yeah.
However, people are saying that Ha Ha Clinton Dix is a better player than Amos just because he gets more interceptions.
Okay. Ha Ha, he was a solid player in Green Bay. He had moments where he was really good and tons of moments where he was like really bad and everyone, a lot of people wanted to cut. Most of his interceptions were luck.
Uh-huh. Especially luck. This year.
Especially this year. The first three games or so, he had like three interceptions and then we don't. Uh-huh. But one or two of those interceptions were luck, in my opinion. I forgot if there was one or two, but either way, he might get interceptions, but he won't be as productive as Adrian Amos will be here with us.
And plus, Amos is such a better tackler.
Yeah. So, Chicago, you guys can talk all this trash you want, saying, oh, we got that better safety. No. He's going to slip up when our wide receivers are running down your field and Kaha's trying to tackle someone. He's going to slip up. Meanwhile, Amos, he's going to be taking guys down, taking your wide receivers down. So, hey, have fun with
Kaha. And this is the trash talking section of the show.
Oh, I had to. Also, let me say this. I work in the, there's this guy, his name is Juan, and we're talking about football, and he was like, who's your team? I was like, the Packers. He goes, oh, hell no. I'm like, what? He pulled out his lanyard. He's a Bears fan. So yesterday, he was like, man, did you hear that we're playing Thursday night opening season? I was like, yeah, you ready for that ass beating? He goes, you ready for Rodgers to get his collarbone broken again? I was like, oh, hell, I was ready to lose my job. I was about to throw something at his head.
Man, the thing is, like, a lot of these NFC North teams, they love when Rodgers gets hurt because that takes away the Packers' chances. I'll admit, when Rodgers goes down, obviously our chances of winning are drastically
lower. Are slim.
They're drastically lower, for sure.
Yeah.
And the fact that they take pride in that instead of wanting to beat us at our best, that just shows them how desperate they are for us to not have full control of the division. Yes, the Bears won the division this past year, but
I'll give them credit. They were a really good team this year, and it hurts to say it because there are rivals. But when you see a team performing the way the Bears did on the defensive side, dude, I'll give them credit
for sure. But the thing is, they lost to Vic Fangio. Vic Fangio is in Denver now, so there goes.
That's true.
They got, you know who their new defensive coordinator is?
No.
Chuck Pagano.
Oh, from the Colts.
Yeah, the guy who got fired from the Colts. Although, I don't want to bag on him too much because he had some good years with the Ravens. However, people are going to bring up, like, well, you guys like Mike Pettine as a defensive coordinator even though he didn't do well in Cleveland. Mike Pettine's situation in Cleveland versus Chuck Pagano's situation in Indianapolis are way different.
Oh, big time. Big time.
Pettine, you know who his quarterback was? Johnny Manziel.
Ew.
And then you have, and then Chuck Pagano has Andrew Luck.
There's a huge difference there. Andrew Luck's a better quarterback.
Exactly. So, and honestly, Cleveland's defense was actually pretty good those years that Pettine was there. It was. But you know what? The Colts defense was consistently awful, even with Pagano as head coach. So how is that going to tell me that Pagano's situation is similar to Pettine's? It doesn't. It just doesn't.
Nope. Yeah, I agree with you 100%.
I think that's going to be... Oh, man. I mean, I know he's going to get a Khalil Mack, but... And honestly, when you have a Khalil Mack, you're probably going to have a pretty decent defense. However, I say that, but Oakland, their last year that they had Khalil Mack, one of the worst defenses in the league. Right spot.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's hard to say how they will be, but I... And honestly, people are really overhyping Mitch Trubisky. They just are. People are saying that he's the new king in the North. He's the next quarterback of the division.
Oh, stop. Right. What about Kirk Cousins? Kirk Cousins, man. He's the king of the
North. Oh, my God. That $84 million man. Vikings really paid this guy $84 million.
Jesus Christ.
People are going to be like, well, he beat you guys. I was like, oh, congratulations.
Yeah, you can have those victories. We already swept all of you guys many years, and we own every single team in that division. So,
and I really dare Lions fans to tell us that they swept us. I was like, the second game, you played DeShone Kizer.
Yeah, exactly. Have fun.
Oh, man. But the thing is, back to Trubisky, the thing is with Trubisky, are we really not going to give credit to Matt Nagy? The guy was.
Oh, my God. Dude, when we played them the first game of the season, I was like, Jesus Christ, this team is going to whoop our ass because he brought that Bears offense
to life.
Exactly. I was like, bro, we cannot stop them. What's Patine doing? Like, is this really Dom Capers that back there, or is it Patine? Because we weren't doing nothing.
Like, I saw these formations that they were doing. I was like, what is this? Like, you have this guy right here and the tight end over here. And I'm just like, what even is this right now? Like, what am I watching?
And it would work. And it would work. That was the scary part. But now that there's tape, he's going to have to switch that
all around. Exactly.
So, let's see how this year goes. I'm looking forward to this game.
Wait, have you heard what the Bears' new kicker's last name is?
Nah, what is
Blewett?
It? God.
Oh, the memes are coming. The memes are coming.
Jesus Christ.
Well, anyways, folks, this wraps up our first episode of the Titletown Times. We'll probably be back here next week. I hope you guys enjoyed. Brian, do you have anything else to say?
Three magical words. Go, Pack, go, and I hope you guys enjoyed today's episode.
Go, Pack, go is correct. We will see you guys next week.
Peace.